Our text for this morning's message is from the prophet Micah. If you can find the book of Jonah, you can find Micah because he's one past Jonah. We're going to concentrate on verse 8 of chapter 6 of Micah, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Micah 6. 1 through 8. But before I do read that and by God's grace expound on his word, let's once again look to him in prayer. Father, the apostle writes that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so with the hymn writer, we pray, come, incarnate word, gird on your mighty sword. Our prayer attend, come, and your people bless, and give your word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains. And let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint. And you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Let me read that last verse again, because that's what we're going to concentrate on this morning. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This Micah of Moresheth was one of the prophets of the section of the Old Testament that the Hebrews just called the 12. We call them the minor prophets. They're not at all minor in significance, for that's not the case with any of God's word. Micah is perhaps best known for being the one who foretold the birthplace of our Savior, saying, you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, from you shall come forth ones whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And so this man, centuries before the Lord came and was born of a virgin, was given by the Spirit a glimpse of him who was to come. Truly the testimony of Jesus. What is all about Christ is what the prophecy of Scripture deals with. Micah was called to a ministry of identifying sin and commanding repentance. He was somewhat like John the Baptizer. Back in chapter 3, verse 8 of his book, we read, Micah says, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So I want to make an application of this to ourselves right off the bat. It's true, we, like Micah, live in the midst of an evil and adulterous generation, such a generation as our Lord walked among, and that's what he called them, an evil and adulterous generation. But let's remember that judgment begins with the household of God. And when he writes, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, let each of us count himself or herself as that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that mother, that father, who has been shown or told by the Lord what is good. And let's also be encouraged by the fact that the Word of God records the fruit of Micah's ministry, one of exposing sin and commanding repentance years later through another prophet, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 26, we find that Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah. Hezekiah feared the Lord, sought the Lord's favor, and the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. And so perhaps as we set the example for our own generation, God will relent. And that well-known promise that we may have all heard in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, there's a little of the greater context of this portion of God's word. Now, what I want to do is give you the outline of where I plan to go with this as we explore what does it mean that God has shown or told us what is good. I want to take three biblical examples of men in whom I see this being fulfilled, and then unpack each of those things in turn: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's how we're going to proceed this morning. Enoch. We know who Enoch was. He was the one who was the seventh generation from Adam. He was one of the earliest men in history. And he was shown the glory of God victoriously bringing history to an end. As he proclaimed to his generation, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This man Enoch was shown the final good. He was shown the last thing, the best thing that would happen at the end of history. God showed this man what is good. That's our first example. God showed Moses what was good when he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And the Lord did that. He passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. generation. God took that man, put him in the cleft of the rock, made his goodness pass before him. He showed that man what was good. Third example, the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. That Samaritan had evidently been shown much goodness by the Lord. He was a man of material substance. And let me briefly digress to affirm that though the so-called prosperity gospel is false teaching, God can and does bless materially those whom he chooses so to bless. Otherwise, the apostolic commandment to congregations through 1 Timothy 6 would be pointless. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So having been shown what was good by God, what did Enoch do? He walked humbly with his God. So pleasingly in his humility, in fact, that God took him up so that he never experienced death. And having been shown what was good by God, what did Moses do? He did justice. He got out there having seen what God showed him, and he labored to teach the people the laws, the testimonies, and statutes of the Lord, serving with all his might, his face itself made to glow with a reflection of the just and holy God. And having been shown all the good things that he had by God, what did that Samaritan do? And by the way, the Lord Jesus never says that that's a parable. It might be, but he doesn't say it was. The Samaritan's response was to use some of what God had shown him, had given him, in a way that shows not just mercy, but a love of mercy. Here's a man who loved to show mercy. He not only felt compassion for that man who had been a victim of robbers, but he tended to his wounds, put him on his own animal while he evidently walked to the inn, brought him there, and stayed overnight with him. Consider again the context of this verse, this one verse that we're looking at. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? In the context, the high and holy God himself presents himself as pleading with his people, asking them, how have I wronged you? Now, what haven't I done for you? What haven't I shown you? What haven't I given you? Testify against me, God even says. He speaks here in Micah in a similar way as he does through Isaiah when he says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. And so let me ask myself, and let me ask you, what has God shown us? What has God shown us? He's not only shown us many good things of this life, but he's shown us his very best. He's shown us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we do not see him now with eyes of flesh, we see him with eyes of faith. Our eyes are focused upon Jesus, the author and finisher of that faith. And though we don't see him, we love him with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He who came into the world and became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God showed us his goodness by taking the penalty for our sins and placing it upon his dear Son. Here's the goodness of God demonstrated and shown to us. God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been hidden in a greater rock and shown a greater glory of God. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. You've been hidden in him as a believer. In Christ, you are in the secret place of the Almighty. What has he given you? All things. Shall not he who gave us his Son with him freely give us all things? Far more than that rich Samaritan ever had. He's shown you more about what is to come. Even as our brother commented this morning about the thing that our hope is set upon, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which Enoch saw in a vision. He's promised us that he's prepared a place for us, that he's coming to take us to be with himself, promised us eternal life with him in heaven. What has God left undone for you and for me, my fellow Christian? How has he wronged us? Has he not, to paraphrase Daniel, or David rather, in 2 Samuel, has God not made with us an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure? Has not some portion of that richly all things to enjoy that Paul wrote about to Timothy become ours? And so the question here this morning is, what is our response? You have seen all the goodness. I have seen all this goodness that God has shown of himself and his glorious way of salvation. Okay, good. What do we now do with that? What is going to be our response to all that God has done? Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be imitators of God as dear children." Let's go once again back to our text and those three realms of response that the prophet gives us. The word of God tells us this is what is to be our response to all the goodness God has shown us. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. According to Romans 3:26, God is the one who is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is perfectly just in all his ways. Yes, he said to Moses he wouldn't clear the guilty, but he can declare the guilty justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as dear children, imitate God who is just and the justifier. Do justice. Jeremiah wrote of King Josiah that he did justice and righteousness. Like Moses in the wilderness, Josiah judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. God goes on to say through Jeremiah, was this not knowing me? Actively seeking justice for others, says God, is what it means to know him. I think of Esther in this context. There was a young Hebrew maiden that had a lot of chutzpah, didn't she? She came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Perhaps some of those other young women thought they just came to the kingdom for the purpose of sitting around and looking good for the big boss man, or worse. But Esther knew that she had come to the kingdom as Mordecai tutored her, counseled her. She came to the kingdom for such a time of this, and she worked righteousness. She did justice. By her daring act, she saved her people. Speak up, Christian, for the oppressed. Seek to get justice done. That's what Micah's talking about here. In the law, there are commands, for example, to take a neighbor's beast of burden back to him when you find it straying. To do justice is to find creative ways to bring that commandment to our time and place. It means not just being passively honest in our dealings, but proactively getting out there and doing deeds of justice. Be a productive citizen under the civil government, not a fearful subject with a victim mentality. God has given us the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Do justice. Bring it about. Work righteousness. That's part of the response of all the goodness of God. All that he's shown us is to be like Moses, to be like Josiah, to be like Esther. Again, be imitators of God as dear children. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's loving mercy. That's having a deep love of mercy in God. That's what God has. That good Samaritan, after all that we've already mentioned, then goes the second mile, or are we maybe up to the fifth, sixth, or seventh mile at this point? For the Lord continues on in the account, saying that on the next day, he prepared the innkeeper, he prepaid the innkeeper for the man's further care, and said that if that still wasn't enough, he'd make good for even more when he came by again. That's loving mercy. That's having mercy as a lifestyle. Will the Lord say to the righteous on that great day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I was hungry and thirsty and cold, and you so mercifully said, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled.'" Is he going to say, "I was a stranger with no place to stay, and you ever so mercifully said, 'You know, there's a place up there called the YMCA. Just go there and they'll take care of you.'" Is he going to say, "I was sick or in prison, and you were so filled with mercy that you said you would tell the pastor so that he could come visit me?" No. The Lord is going to say, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. He has shown you what is good. What's your response? Love mercy. Seek opportunities to demonstrate it. Imitate God. And what greater example of humility, of walking humbly with our God, is there than that of God incarnate, the eternal Son, the one that Micah foretold was to come from Bethlehem, whose goings forth are from everlasting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So imitate him by walking humbly with your God as Enoch did. And like Enoch, you'll be exalted in God's time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. And this humility works hand in hand with those tangible deeds that we do as we work justice and as we love mercy. For the Lord says, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And so this text from the prophet Micah is calling us to do exactly what God's word calls us to do elsewhere. Deuteronomy 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's all the things God has shown us. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is above and beyond what you should do? No. What is your reasonable service? This is just what the response of us Christians should be to all the goodness that God has shown us. Not being conformed to this world and its selfishness, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we conclude, I want to give you two accounts in Scripture of men who were sent to spy out the land of Canaan. I think you're familiar with the accounts. The first were the group that Moses sent in. They went in to spy out the land that God was giving them. And God showed them. He showed them, oh man, what is good. He showed them that good land flowing with milk and honey. He kept them safe in their spying as they went in and out on a dangerous mission. But they brought back a bad report and caused the people to shrink back. The second account, two more men sent a little later by Joshua to spy out Jericho. God likewise showed them a portion of that good land that they were to inherit according to his plan, and showed them success in their work. They brought back a good report. And the armies of God forged ahead in their divine mission and took the city. Well, we have a divine mission to build the kingdom of God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might say that those second two men performed God's justice against the Canaanites. They loved mercy by arranging for the deliverance of Rahab and her house, and with their fellow Israelites, simply at the command of God, they just walked humbly around the city until God miraculously made its walls tumble down. So which group do you resemble? What is lacking in all the good that God has shown you and me, that our response should be anything less than what our text says, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? It's not an oppressive burden. It's not legalism. It's our reasonable service. To serve sin and self is the harsh bondage, but his service is perfect freedom. Behold all the good that God has shown you and respond to him with joyful obedience. Let's pray. Truly, Father, you have shown us what is good. Nothing is lacking. And what do you require of us but to do justly, to have a deep love of mercy and practice it, to walk humbly with you according to your commandments. Father, won't you enlarge our hearts and work this in us? May we consider all your goodness and let it lead us to a more burning, stronger love for you, that we may respond as your word directs us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 587, Who is on the Lord's Side? Let's stand to sing number 587.